Father, in Jesus' name, we just give your Son all the praise and all the thanks, all the glory. Oh, how magnificent is the Lamb of God. And Lord, as we just sung, there are these things we're going through that are beyond ourselves. But Lord, you specifically brought that Red Sea into our life. God, you've set us in a wilderness. Praise be to God. Lord, the Holy Ghost even brings us out to minister to us in a desert. And Lord, we thank you for that, because that's the time you get us alone with you. And Lord, you tell us so sweetly how much you love us, Lord God. And thank you again. It's becoming just that table for two, Lord God. Oh, that intimate, the romantic, Lord, that you are to our hearts, Lord Jesus. God, help us to just let us be wooed by you. God, to submit, Lord God, to quit thrashing around, Lord God, to have our thoughts and our mind captivated, Lord, with the thoughts that you have for us. And as you said, oh, your thoughts towards us are more than the sands of the sea, more than the stars in heaven. And Lord, they keep looking out and they continue to multiply at an ever-increasing rate. Lord, you're overwhelmed. I'm so thankful that we know that my beloved is mine. Hallelujah. And I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. God, thank you, thank you, thank you for such a precious Savior. Father, thank you for that wonderful Son, and thank you that you completely gave him to us. We give him the praise and the honor and the thanksgiving today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you'll open your Bibles with me, we're going to the book of Philippians this morning, and we'll be in that third chapter again. And last week, we launched out on a study on knowing him, and thanks be to God for that greatest of gifts, to know him, to know the love of Christ, to know him as the Lord is encouraging us in this precious third chapter. But we'll read here today again from the seventh verse, the Apostle Paul speaking again of the excellency of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And again, this was the vessel that said, oh my, I count all things but dung, but for the excellency of the knowledge of him. Oh, I thank God how he professed and he said, oh, I've labored, I've suffered more than ye all. But it wasn't me at all. It was the grace of God that was with me. So let's rejoice in this life. As he says here in verse 7, but what things were gained to me? And he had a lot of things that could have been gained to him. All of that education and riches and wealth and fame and all of those things. He said, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Hallelujah. He had known Christ for so many years at this time, hadn't he? And thank the Lord, he was pressing for something. There was a mark, there was a prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He was looking for that out resurrection from among the dead. You'll go back to 1 Thessalonians 4 and let it just enlighten the eyes of your understanding to understand that there is a first trump rapture, and there are going to be ones that are ready and alive, praise God, looking and loving his appearing. But he says here, and be found in him. See, Paul did not want to be found in himself, but in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Oh, I love this. I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means, any way, I want this, I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now, this morning, God willing, we go to the second one here in verse 10. To know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. And I do want to make a note, emphasize that we will never venture in to this second way of knowing him without first taking all the knowledge to know him in the power of his resurrection. We must know him in the power of his resurrection, knowing that because of Christ in me, Christ in you, that you have been made a full overcomer in Christ Jesus. It's all there. Because of Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is faithful and true, and he will perform the good work which he has begun in us. Oh, what a comfort to my heart. What a rest to my soul. That I cease from my own works, praise God, and I enter into the very rest of God, knowing that I, praise the Lord, am his workmanship. Oh, that makes me excited. I feel the hands of God on me when that just encourages my heart so. Lord, I know it's you. Praise God, the very hands of the Creator on my life. The Holy Ghost in me, that power of his might, willing in my life to will and to do of his good pleasure. So here we are, though, today. We're faced now in this precious portion of Scripture with the most beautiful of all opportunities we could ever be offered, to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Underscore his sufferings, not just to know him in sufferings. A lot of times I've suffered, many a time I've suffered, to my own doing. But we're talking about now that narrow way of his sufferings and knowing him in the power of his sufferings. And it is all powerful. But I'm going to tell you this. If there was ever a time to know why God did something, I hear people asking, well, why God, why this? Know this and you'll know it all. Why God did something. Why God wants something. If there was ever a time, this is the time to know this. And I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And God will make this evidently clear because, again, this is his will and purpose for us, brothers and sisters. He opens the hearts, and he wants to open our heart this morning to receive more of this enlightenment of his word. And in the 17th verse, it tells us, and if children, if you're a child of God, praise God. And how are we children of the Lord? We accept him as Savior, praise the Lord, at that moment, from death to life everlasting. We are born of God. We become his children. It's the seed that remaineth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're the family of God because of the blood of Jesus. Without the remission of sin, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Praise be to God. But it says here, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. That's a wonderful statement. That's beyond anything I could ever think. My head just blew up. But he's even the God of the much the more. He's even the God of a better thing. Better, exceeding, great, and rich promises to us at this time. So he didn't stop there. And joint heirs. That joint heirs is as a husband and wife. You'll look that up if you'd like to. And that's what that means. You'll read throughout the Word of God in that precious relationship of a husband and wife. That's the joint heirs. I've got children and they're heirs, but my wife is my only joint heir. And this is what God is encouraging here. And you'll notice that the children are God's heirs, the Father's heirs. Notice who the joint heir is with, Christ Jesus. He's going to have a wife. You could read this one little simple verse, and if the Holy Ghost will hit you, you can say, my goodness, I see that. He's going to have a wife. And it's not going to be all the children. They're going to be joint heirs. But it didn't stop there, did it? See, that heirs of God, we know that's born. My children were born to me. They're my heirs. It's done. When you're born of God, you're an heir. It's done. But here is the joint heirship, the husband and wife with Christ. And here comes the if. Here's an if. There's not too many ifs in the Word of God. There are not. But here is the most precious if there could ever be. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Oh. Yeah, I tell you, pray for me right now. We're not going on. Again, brothers and sisters, we see that all God's children are heirs. Period. But to jointly rule and reign, to be glorified together with Him, will only be manifest in those that gladly... Now, I'm going to underscore some things here. Not just, well, I'm going to go suffer with God. I'm going to go find me a cave. A bed of nails? A big high tower where somebody can feed me with a stick because I stink so much? That happened, by the way. That guy didn't take a bath. The one who suffered was the poor guy that had to put the food on a stick. But see, that's my own works, and that's just dirty self-right. He was stinking, but not as much as he was stinking to God in trying to make that work in his own. But see, brothers and sisters, that's what this is so precious. This is why this is so real. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ, glorified together with Him in those that will have manifest in their lives the gladful heart, the joyful heart, the willing heart that will suffer together with Him. Praise God. Praise God. 2 Timothy 2:12 tells us, you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. Praise the Lord. Verse 18 of Romans 8:18. For I reckon. Isn't that wonderful? That means I count it. It's just a fact. That the sufferings of this present time, and we're all in them. Amen? Amen. And I believe by God's grace, see, He's the one that performs Romans 8:28 always. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And His purpose is what? That all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. And you are hearing by God's grace the full knowledge of the truth this morning. Not because of me. I don't know a thing, but I know who knows everything. And it's the Word of God, and I want to preach the whole counsel of God because the Bible tells me so. Isn't that wonderful? And the unction of the Holy Spirit is going to come forth. But He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. They're not even worthy to be compared. That means I shouldn't even be uttering this to even try to compare it. Not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, I love it. How much glory you want revealed in you? I want all of it. I want to be filled with all the fullness of God. I want to be that new Jerusalem descending from heaven, having the glory of God. Hallelujah. I am so grateful to God for this. And it's so typed in our lives, brothers and sisters. You think about the woman is the glory of man. I thank the Lord for that. My wife's in Texas today, so I can talk about her. And it's great. So you have to be quiet. But she's my glory. She's beautiful. I love her. I'm so thrilled. I told her again, I just like to look at you. It's wonderful. I'm so grateful to God for that type. And that's a type. But it's real. And see, we can think of these marriages and these relationships we have at that height and that pinnacle. But let me tell you something. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love Him. No, I don't know what it's going to be like. He gave me a type and it's awful sweet to my heart. What God has in store? Oh, Jesus. See, I got to have a body like unto His own to even get on with it. And then yet it says, in the ages to come, the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness to me, and it will never be exhausted. And I'll have a body that'll never get exhausted with it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He's so good to us. I pray we wake up. Oh, thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's all here in the Word of God, so we just have to read and believe. 14, 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing. See, isn't that wonderful? See, we don't doubt, we don't question, we know. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, and the abundant grace, oh, I love abundant grace, might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, see, it's perishing, all them products and everything you're trying to do, I'm telling you, money could be better spent. Never mind. All right. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Aren't we thankful we're interested in the inward man, the new man? That's the one. For our light affliction. Isn't this wonderful how Brother Paul is just encouraging us? And you think of the afflictions that brother had. Let me tell you something. We could all put ourselves together here. We didn't enter into that. But I'm not here to compare ourselves amongst ourselves either. Because you know what? The Lord knows what you need. The Lord knows what I need. And the Lord will not test us or tempt us beyond what we can bear. See, we have a promise. And with that temptation, he has made the way of escape, hasn't he? See, it's already there. Listen, believe the word of God, and thank the Lord. You'll be like a Daniel someday and start petting those lions right when you're in the trial. Wonderful time as we can do that, walking through the land and knowing that God has already slayed those giants for us. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, there's that glory thing again. Glory, 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 glorified together. See, you, Lord, let my heart be enamored with your glory. Amen? See, and I don't want to just behold his glory. I want to be his glory. That's the message. That's the gospel of the grace and glory. See, because you'll never get to glory without grace. You can't get any glory without grace. If you take all the grace, you'll be all of his glory. That's what's so wonderful about it. Again, it's all him. You should be stunned. I love looking at your faces. It's like, when you see something that beautiful, you're just in awe, aren't you? But that's how he sees you. Do you know that's how he sees you? Do you relish and just let the word of God ravish your heart too? To know with just one bat of your eye, when you accept the grace of God and you're rejoicing in the grace of God, he's smitten. He's ravished. All he can say is, honey, what's mine is yours. And I'm just waiting for the Father to tell me, I'm going to get you. See, ain't sending angels. Wonderful, like them, but I got him. Amen. And he's coming for me. Stephen kind of showed me that. When he entered into heaven and he saw the Father and the Son at the right hand standing. Oh, and we're preaching Paul's gospel too. Oh, know this for your life. Know this for your life. This is the reality. People could look at me today, and I'm sure most of them would say, that guy is absolutely crazy. We need to watch him. Please do. Because I pray you'll see one thing, and that's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Oh, I want that beauty to be held. I want you to see Jesus. I want you to want to go on with him. And if he'll use this weak vessel, if he'll use, truly, brothers and sisters, I could get in the front of the line. I could tell you the chiefest sinner too. Oh, and what he's done in my life. Oh, I'm so grateful to him. Oh, hallelujah. It's such a treasure to allow him to increase. But I must decrease. Oh, it's so wonderful. Oh, God, where are we? Maybe in heaven, huh? See, where he is, that's heaven. So I'm thankful we're kind of already there. Well, we're already seated, so praise the Lord. Just beside myself in his glory. Isn't that wonderful? That's where I want to stay. But you see, brothers and sisters, here it is. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then in John 1, 3 and 2, which is so awesome here, you see it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. See, we start looking at one another, we're going, no.
it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him, praise God, as he is. Now, the last thing I'm going to tell you is this. God help us. Call those things which be not as though they were. Lord Jesus, help me to live reality. Amen. That is. It's huge. See, that's the good fight of faith, brothers and sisters. That truly is. That's what God has put before us. We need to start getting excited about the power of the faithfulness of God in us. Really. Know this. The enemy's just out there to try to get you to look at you, and then you're going to see a failure. You will always see a failure eventually if you look at you. And that's all the enemy wants you to do, is to see that flesh. Oh no, Christ in me, buddy. That's the hope of glory. Amen. Oh, and I abound in that hope. And that's not some if, that's a when. Know it. God's hopes are when it's going to be. And praise be to God, as he says, when he shall appear, I shall be like him. So these are the things that I rejoice in. That's who I count forever faithful. But brothers and sisters, just as Christ Jesus, he could have never ascended and taken the place at the right hand of the Father and someday take the throne as God. It would have never happened without the suffering. It never would have happened. Without all that ridicule and scourging and beating and mocking, without all that suffering, he could never have attained and reached the heights of glory that the Father had for him. And I want you to know this. It is the same thing with us. We will never attain to the place of glorified together with him without suffering together with Christ. Praise the Lord. You see? Like him? Like him. Brothers and sisters, this is just great grace. Grace beyond my understanding of grace, but thank God I might not understand it, but I know it. Because I know Jesus. And he brings grace, and he gives me grace, and I receive the grace, and he gives me more grace for grace. And it's all grace, because I grow in grace, and you do too, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So see, it's all in this unmerited love, and in all of this unmerited favor that carries us in love to him. See, it's all because of his love. It's all because of his love. It's all because of his love for me and his love for you. And when I'm going to just give you a testimony. It's all because of his love for me that encourages my life to take up that cross gladly, my cross, and follow him. I love it. It was just like Brother Paul said. He said, I labored more abundantly than you all. They were all bickering and fighting, saying who was the best, and oh, I did this for Jesus. Let me tell you something. You didn't do a thing. As Brother Paul said, I labored more than ye all. I suffered more than ye all. I was beat up more than ye all. I'm telling you. But I'm taking no glory in that at all, because I know it had nothing to do with me, but everything to do with the grace of God that was, and praise be to God, is with me. That's it. Isn't that wonderful? See, we praise him for his grace. Jesus Christ, full of grace and glory. That's exactly, full of truth and grace. This is our precious Lord and Savior. And when that really hits our lives, brothers and sisters, it's wonderful. See, we realize, see, we don't go to him in our self-works. We don't draw nigh to him because of our goodness. We draw nigh to him because he first loved us. That's it. From the very beginning. He first loved us, and it never ends that way. And if I'll fall in love with that precious love that he loves us with, you'll find yourself, I'll find myself going to find him. It's wonderful. You read that Song of Solomon. You'll begin to seek him out. It's wonderful. You'll begin to go unto him without the camp, won't you? See how this all works together? It's awesome. And it's his love that draws you. Nothing else will. You won't draw out of that house. You'll be still looking at yourself in the mirror, combing your hair. See, that's what she was doing, and he was at the door, and he left. You looking at yourself, you'll never leave that house. You'll never leave the comfort of home. Ask Rebecca. It's the truth. She saw how beautiful, because of the Holy Ghost, that servant that ministered to her at the well. Go read chapter 24 of Genesis. You should read it every week, every day. But you'll see the pattern, and it's so perfect. She thought nothing, again, of herself. She thought nothing of the family, in a sense. Now, again, you got to get this right. But that wasn't going to keep her. The love drew her. Like I said about my own home, I had a wonderful home, all of these things. There were no complaints. It was incredible. But I wasn't going to stay because I wanted to be with my love. That's it. This is the same thing. This is the type. This is the shadow that Christ Jesus does and builds in our lives, brothers and sisters. So you see, she goes out to find him. She even goes out to marry him. And praise be to God, she goes throughout the city to find her. To find her love. You'll see that in the Song of Solomon. And it says the reason she does this is because she's sick of love. She's intoxicated with his love. You would not be here listening to this if there wasn't a little bit of intoxication of his love going on. You would not come here week after week if you were not intoxicated with the love of God. Start giving him the praise and glory. And I mean that. It's the truth. You can say, well, I don't do this, and I'm unfaithful in this, and I get caught up. Now we're back to looking at our flesh, aren't we? Huh? Does his love draw you or not? That's all I'm going to ask you. Amen. Then you're in the right vein. Isn't that wonderful? He loves scratch and dent. Oh, you got to get it. He loves it. You're so beautiful to him. I'm not encouraging for that sin to rain upon your life. Paul says, don't let it rain. But brothers and sisters, I don't give that my attention. It's his love. It's his love. Oh, and it draws me all through the city. And I seek him and I get beat up. I get roughed up. I make wrong turns sometime here and there, but that love always straightens it right out. Gets me right back in that narrow way. Oh, and she is just spellbound eventually, isn't she? For his desire for her. See, at the very beginning of that, she says, oh, my beloved is mine. My beloved is mine. And that's a good thing. It's wonderful. But when you really know that your lover loves you, that's beyond, isn't it? Yeah, it is way. I love it. But that's when you rest. And that's when she finally says, I am my beloved's. And his desire is toward me. See, that's when you start resting. I'm just going to rest in that love, that grace, that glory. Hallelujah. And then what happens, which is so magnificent, as you go, and as you go through that city, and that's your life as you go unto him. You don't think about the beatings and that suffering anymore. Because you know what the greatest ache in your life becomes? A groaning to be with him. I'm starting to hear it in this place. I'm starting to hear it here on a Friday night. There's a groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. There's nothing like that sound. Nothing like that sound. That's an ache. That's a lovesick pang that says, Jesus, I just love your appearing. I want to not just behold your face. I want to hold your face. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. You know, some men, they think, oh, well, now how can we marry the Lord? We're men. And see, you got to get beyond that, this little puny mind. Again, we're talking type and shadow. There's neither male nor female. I'm telling you, I don't get it. I don't understand it. But the one thing is I know it. There's a difference. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't tell you why. I couldn't tell you how I understand he loves me. But I know he does. Huh? You know, I don't need to figure everything out. You just have somebody tell me about oxygen and how that works in my lungs and all that. By the time I figure that out, I'm dead. I just take big breaths. It's there. How much more so with God? Huh? Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay, we'll wrap it up now. As the sufferings of Christ, that proved His love for us. Our sufferings prove our love for Him. They do. See, the sufferings that He gives for us to go through, they cause us to be like Him. See, from glory to glory into His image, the four living ones, if you've studied that out, those are the ones in the midst of the throne, that company that rules and reigns with Jesus, that type of the bride. If you look at the life or the meaning of each one of those are the four gospels, like Him. This is what happens, that transformation that overtakes our lives, that mind of Christ that takes over our life. See, sufferings make us like Him. Sufferings complete a finished work in us, and by grace cause us to be ready, just like Him, to be offered. It's precious. Brother Paul lived this life, and he was such a wonderful example to us. And as he said so sweetly, and I love, of all the things he said, maybe the sweetest to my heart, is he said, not unto me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. That same exalted crown of righteousness, that same anointing of my Lord and Savior's feet, I took it all. Hallelujah. I allowed all the fullness of God to come into my life. There's nothing more pleasing to Him. Thank you, Jesus, Christ in you, Son, the hope of glory. I get it. That because of that joy, hallelujah, that is set before us, I gladly, and I'm blessed to enter into the joint sufferings together with Christ. And I thank the Lord, brothers and sisters, the joy, hallelujah, that I have, that I know this and I believe this. And I thank the Lord that I can testify with you today. I do not sorrow as them that have no hope. I don't. I don't sorrow over anything as those that don't have hope. Because I abound in hope. I abound of a when I see Him. For I know, 1 Peter 5:10, that the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And praise be to God, brothers and sisters, I'm settled. I'm beginning to settle in. How about you? Like a readied wife. That's it. That's it. And even so, Lord, come quickly. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you, Lord, that again, vessels here to the praise of the glory of your grace. Thank you again that we can magnify your precious Son. We know that He's the one. Praise God. He's it. It's His life that lives in us. And Lord, thank you again for that Holy Ghost that takes the things of Christ. We've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. We've got it all. And thank you, Lord, how He shows these things to us. He grows us up into who we are in Christ. And Lord, let us take it in today. Let us just rejoice and give you the thanks and praise. God, let our minds just be stayed upon you and having that perfect peace just reign in our lives. Lord, again, we thank you for this all precious word, because it's the word of your grace. As we feed upon that, it produces this good fruit. And we thank you, Lord, for it all. We thank you and so rejoice that we are your workmanship. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.